This is the NWA's World's Heavyweight Champion, the Iron Man Rob Conway, and you are locked in to Beyond Ringside.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, lift off.
The phrase it pays, the music plays, the microphones go hot, and we are rocking and rolling in Studio One. This, a special edition of Beyond Ringside, your home for wrestling, mixed martial arts, sports talk, the Magic City Motor Mouth, Fast Eddie Lane, live behind the control panel this evening. I will say live because we're doing it live, even though that technically we're doing this as a tape, and yes, I'm kind of scattered, mainly because I will say it like this. The words wrestling royalty come into play in more ways than one, especially when you are holding something that is identified with tradition and legacy in the world of professional wrestling. And ladies and gentlemen, my very special guest at this time, he is the current National Wrestling Alliance World Heavyweight Champion, the Iron Man, Rob Conway. Mr. Conway, welcome into Beyond Ringside.
I appreciate you having me, man. That sure adds a ring to it when I hear it every time. World Heavyweight Champion. NWA, Iron Man Rob Conway. Thank you very much.
Now, March 16th, a magic day for you in more ways than one. Of course, the day that you won the championship from Cahagas, the Tokyo Monster. When the belt was presented to you, what was genuinely the first thing that went through your head?
My father had passed away. The next day was marking the 6 month anniversary of him passing away, and just he was my biggest fan, and just the culmination of 16 years of wrestling full time, and then to win, you know, my biggest match of my career and be the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, just knowing how proud he would have been, you know, that's what kind of hit me. You know, at that moment, I mean, I'm not a very emotional person, generally, and, you know, wrestling is something that I love, but I don't really get that wrapped up into emotions. You know, I treat it, you know, it's a sport to me, but that really was kind of overcome with the idea of how proud he would be. You know, I'm a junior, so I mean, it would have been, you know, his name would have been there as, you know, Robert Thomas Conway, the world's heavyweight champion. You know.
There is a phrase that we've used on this show in its various incarnations over the last few years. And I would like to ask you to what your interpretation of this phrase means. A belt doesn't make a champion. The person makes it a championship.
Well, I mean, if you look over the years at different championships, the person who has held it in their, you know, their prestige, they're looked upon and their respect in the business is what made those championships worth having. I mean, when you look at the NWA World Heavyweight Championship and you look at the names of the people that have held it, that's what makes you want to be on that list. I mean, that's what made the NWA World Heavyweight Champion something that, you know, has a great tradition, and the past is unparalleled. And now moving toward the future, you know, I'm hoping that I'm one of those names that future champions look at and say, hey, I held the same championship as the Iron Man Rob Conway. That's something that they aspire to. But yeah, I think, you know, I mean, a belt without a heritage is just, you know, metal and leather. But the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, I think that's something that anybody who's been in the wrestling business or watched it over their lifetime, and of course both of our lifetimes, it's the champions that have held it that give it its, you know, that's what makes it important.
Now, what I call the Beyond Ringside double play, it's a personal double, it's a two-part question that I love to ask because everybody always has a different answer. There are two moments, normally, for most of us, in pro wrestling. The first moment is when you become a fan
of pro wrestling. The second moment is when the little light bulb goes off over your head and that little voice in the back of your skull goes, I got to do this. For Rob Conway, what are those two moments?
I mean, I was such a at a such an early age when I became a fan that I don't know the exact moment that I was like, wow, you know, I'm a wrestling fan. I can't remember not being a wrestling fan as a kid. And growing up, my idols were from the, you know, I'm from the Ohio Valley, so I grew up watching the USWA and the NWA. Not WWF. I didn't watch it until I was in like junior high because it wasn't on cable. I didn't have cable television. So, you know, my earliest memories of going to live matches were when I was like in the third, fourth grade, going to the Louisville Gardens and watching guys like Jerry the King Lawler and Superstar Bill Dundee and Jimmy Valiant and Austin Idol. So those are the memories that I have of becoming a fan, the fabulous ones. And then in about 95, 96, I started watching wrestling again. I fell out of it kind of during high school and when I was playing basketball in college. And that's when the WWF had gone to, you know, more character-based, like really character-based. Like it was, you know, the Doink the Clown and stuff like that, and I wasn't watching it so much. But then 95, 96, when the NWO and Degeneration X and kind of everybody started watching it again. I was already early 20s and I was like 235 or 40 pounds and had been lifting weights with the idea of getting into bodybuilding. And I just watched it on television and just really fell in love with it again. And then I was on my way to work and I looked over and there was a sign that said the Danny Davis School of Professional Wrestling. And had an arrow pointed, said wrestling Sunday nights. And I passed by that sign for a few weeks and just wanted to stop in and check it out. So I just stopped in and watched a show on a Sunday. Wasn't the greatest athletes in my mind, you know, compared to what I'd seen on television. And then I met with the Nightmare Danny Davis about training. He basically told me everything that I wanted to hear, like, oh, you know, just wanted me to sign up, and I signed up and then found out that those guys I thought weren't great athletes were actually really, really good athletes, and it was a lot harder than I ever thought it was going to be.
Now, you've always kept yourself in good condition. From the time that I've been able to go back and take looks at everything from OVW, I haven't found anything on MCW. Of course, everybody knows about the national platform. What is one food you can't resist, even when training?
I mean, pizza is my favorite. Pizza and birthday cake are my two favorite things, but I can resist them if it's not time to eat them. I mean, I never just randomly eat, you know, those foods. It's all planned. I mean, I know, like, every Sunday that's what I'm going to eat. So, you know, very rarely do I. I don't even consider it cheating because it's planned.
Now, I have to bring this one out into play because you've been successful as a singles competitor. You've been successful as a tag team competitor. In this day and age, in 2013, right now, October 8th as we're taping this, tag team wrestling, what is your perspective and focus on it?
I personally enjoy tag team wrestling. I actually, you know, consider myself to be mainly a tag team specialist throughout my career. And I still enjoy watching tag team matches more than, you know, most singles matches. It's just more exciting to me. There's more guys involved. There's so many more moves that can be done. The referee is hard for him to be in place all the time. It's just exciting to me, that tag team wrestling. I think in most of the mainstream, you know, the television, now the show, the wrestling that's on television, that's kind of been de-emphasized, I think. And then even in the independent leagues, I mean, you got four guys out there wrestling for the same length of time as you can have two guys. So it just costs more. So, I mean, there's a reason why there's not as much tag team wrestling going on. It's really, you're paying four guys for the price of two, really.
Now, I have to ask, because this is something that's been popping through my head ever since our good friend Tony Brooklyn was starting to set this up, back in the national platform, back in the E, and you were part of La Resistance, and it was originally a trio. How many times were you tempted to actually really try to invoke the Freebird rule? Or did you wish they would?
You know, the thing about the WWE is that you can't really invoke anything. You just it's a television show more than anything. It's a job. You just kind of show up and do what you're told and show up on time, and your creative freedom is very limited. But, you know, it pays good, and it gives you a household name. It's a great place to work, and the live events are a lot of fun, and that you get to really see the guys wrestle. But as far as invoking any of the traditions from the past, you know, we've been blast because, you know, Michael Hayes is one of the producers of the show. So just getting to be around him all the time was pretty nice.
Yeah, I think the way that I should have asked the question, were you hoping that they would try to bring that into play? But
there's three of us.
Exactly.
That would have been great. You know, it's like, hey, these two guys are going to defend the championship tonight. For the most part, though, Sylvain, we very rarely, we had like a couple six-man tag matches, but for the most part, as soon as I joined La Resistance, Sylvain had a broken bone in his neck and only wrestled maybe two or three shows with us before he had to take time off to heal his neck.
Now, on a personal note, as it pertains to pro wrestling, if I ask you to lay out inspirations as far as people in the past that you've watched, maybe not when you were originally first time or second time watching it, but since you've gotten more immersed in it, are there people that you can honestly say are inspirations to you in pro wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of wrestling now, not as much the current product, but I still watch a lot of, you know, DVDs and YouTube and a lot of shows on the internet. And I watched Rick Rude matches yesterday. I watch Ric Flair matches, Shawn Michaels. You know, there's a lot of guys that, you know, I look up superstar Billy Graham matches. So there's, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage is somebody that always still enjoy watching his wrestling. He's a guy who, even when he started, like his very beginning, like I can never find any matches where he wasn't already good. You know, I ask a guy who I know who started with him, I said, was he ever not good? And he said, no, he was just good from the get-go. You know, he just grew up in it. So, yeah, I mean, those are guys, you know, Terry Funk, I mean, guys who are great, and you just can't put your finger on what makes them so great. You know, they just have something about them. And you can't really learn to be great, but you can certainly hope that, you know, that just by watching it, that, you know, some of that might rub off on you.
Now, in the 80s, whether it be on the national product or even on the in a lot of the indies, a lot of us in pro wrestling were treated like rock stars, whether we were in-ring, whether we were managers, and sometimes even announcers, depending on the city and depending on the group. In this day and age, in 2013, I see more of the rock star treatment in the indies. But you see more of the I'm a TV star / movie star on the national platform. Which would you rather see yourself treated like?
You know, that's a great question. But, you know, I consider myself, I got into wrestling not from a performer standpoint. Like, I know a lot of people like the rock star thing, and other people want to be actors. I was an athlete. I mean, I wanted to be a professional basketball player originally. And then I started lifting weights, and I grew kind of quick. I was like, I put on a lot of weight fast and thought, man, I'll try bodybuilding. And that's when I got the opportunity to wrestle. So really, I mean, not that I wouldn't want to be treated like a rock star or a movie star, but for the most part, I treat it more like, you know, from an athlete point of view. So I don't really, like, go out after the shows and stay out late. I mean, I did that when I first started, you know, the first few months. It was kind of fun. But then I kind of put my nose back to the ground and know that everything that I've gotten in the wrestling business is from, you know, working out 2 hours a day, watching my diet, you know, getting rest. That's why I've been able to, you know, do this full time for, you know, 16 and a half years now. So as much as I'd love to, you know, wish it that I could stay out late and then, you know, sleep all day, I've always been kind of taking it from more of a professional athlete point of view. So I've been, you know, been treated like an athlete, you know, signing autographs in high school and in college, you know, as a basketball player. So that's kind of my take on it, is more of a sports star or sports figure.
Now, you make the reference to the basketball. Of course, you played in high school, you played some in college. And what, everybody has their own motive for going into a particular sport. Me personally, I liked basketball. And I actually preferred to be more of a two guard because I enjoyed passing more than I did shooting. It's like I'm co-running the floor. Now, for you, what was your favorite position to play?
Well, I started out as a point guard only because I didn't shoot very much. And then as I got into high school and college, I really didn't see a shot that I didn't like. So I became more of a shooting guard in high school and college. And what led me to wanting to play basketball is, I'm in Indiana, and in Indiana, basketball is huge, and it used to be even bigger whenever I was, like, in high school. We probably averaged 3,500 to 4,000 people to a game in high school, and I grew up going to those games and wanting to be, you know, out there in front of those kind of crowds. So that's, you know, football here, you get 300 or 400 people to a game, and basketball, you get, you know, 4,000 or 5,000, depending on how big the rivalry is.
And I'm sure you pretty much still watch the big dance every year, the NCAA men's basketball tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Still pulling for the Hoosiers, or have you got another favorite team?
I've never liked the Hoosiers.
Oh!
I live really south in Indiana, so I'm like a rock's throw away from University of Louisville, or, you know, I'm closer to U of L or U of K. So I've always been more of a Kentucky U of L fan.
Louisville. Denny Crum, flashback, good days.
Yeah, I used to go to those basketball camps, you know, as a youngster, go to U of L and all the Denny Crum's camps. So I grew up closer to Kentucky than I did Indiana.
Okay. Watch the NBA much?
Yes.
What's your favorite team?
You know, I probably like to watch the Heat the most just because they're the best. I mean, it's hard to... I don't have a team that I'm, like, loyal to the team. I just like to watch good players play. You know,
yeah.
It used to be, like, the 76ers and then, like, Bird and Magic and then Jordan, and now, you know, LeBron and them are just, it's hard to not want to watch them.
If ESPN does a 30 for 30 on the career of Rob Conway, what would be the title of it?
I guess from humble beginnings, that would be, you know, to be in the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion.
You make the reference to being in the gym, and it's very well obvious that you do keep yourself in good condition. There are a number of people who've worked in pro wrestling over the years and competed who have also been in competitive bodybuilding. Do you think that, from your perspective, becoming very diehard into bodybuilding or powerlifting, that it restricts a person as to what they can do in the ring?
I think it depends on how close they are to some type of a competition, because I know for myself, when I'm in my, like, to look at me and say, man, he's in his absolute best shape, everything hurts way worse. When I'm, like, 4 or 5% body fat, it really puts, you know, a body slam feels like a power bomb, and you're always having to, you know, stretch more because your muscles are tighter, and there's injuries that occur sometimes when nobody's even touching you, just hitting the ropes and, you know, taking 2 or 3 steps and maybe, you know, pulling a hamstring or a calf. So generally for me, when I'm in my worst shape, and I, you know, as far as how I look, I'm usually my most athletic. I can run fastest, jump highest. I can, you know, wrestle without injury. So there's a fine line between being athletic and then being either so lean or so you know, for a power lifter to be so powerful that everything is so tight that you're just asking for an injury, and you might tail off and be like, hey, if given the opportunity, I'm not going to be jumping off of the ropes because I might hurt myself, you know. You might get hurt without anybody even touching you just because you've worked out too hard and gotten in too good a shape as far as the way you look.
Two-part question. Through the time that from the first time that you've stepped in the ring to right now on October 8th, what do you feel is the moment where you can say, I've arrived?
I mean, really, you never really feel like you have arrived. I don't know. That's the thing. You can have a pretty good career, but for the most part, I don't think anybody really looks at their career and says, hey, I'm satisfied with it, or that everything's going good, probably until it's over. I mean, there's milestones where you think, man, this is one of the steps toward being successful. For me, the first step, I believe, was just having a match. The second step was, you know, getting to wrestle in a main event, and then moving from there to getting to be in WrestleMania, having an action figure, getting to wrestle in a video game, and then being, you know, brought overseas to wrestle because your popularity has gotten to the point where, hey, we want to bring this guy to another country. So those are things. I mean, yeah, being an NWA World's Heavyweight Champion is pretty much you've arrived, but I think you can't be too happy with yourself, or you can't get too complacent.
Now, this next question I ask, and you can put the stipulation for to relive the match because it was that much fun and everything went the way that you wanted it to go, or to redo it for any particular reason. What is one match you'd like to have back?
Wow. This time last year, actually, it was July of 2012. I was in a match in Texas. The match itself, I was completely happy with. The people were really into it. But I tore my left bicep toward the end of the match. And, I mean, that was by far the worst injury that I've had. And when I tore my tendon, my bicep, my arm rolled, the bicep muscle rolled up my arm. And I had to go to the emergency room. I didn't have a flight out for like 2 days, so I had to stay in San Antonio with a torn bicep by myself. And at that point, I thought that my career may be over. I mean, other people have torn their biceps before, and it didn't heal. You know, it would look bad. And if I hadn't had the successful surgery, they said at most I would get maybe 30% of my strength back. Hmm. So July of 2012, I really thought that might be the end of my wrestling and I would have to move on. And the thing is, I always wanted to be done with wrestling before it's done with me. And I'm hoping that when the time comes and I think I want to, you know, move on, that I get to leave the way I want to. And that wasn't going to be it. So I had a great surgeon. I got my arm repaired. It took me 4 months of being in the sling. And, you know, my arm was 2 or 3 inches smaller than the other one. But I was able to come back and not only wrestle, but then get with the NWA and now be the NWA champion and going to Japan and, you know, places in other countries wanting to join the NWA now and wanting me to come and wrestle there. So, but that, you know, that's purely from a physical standpoint of, wow, it cost me a lot of money. Yeah. You know, I couldn't work for 5 months. My arm didn't work, a lot of pain, a lot of downtime. But yeah, the idea that if I could go back and not get injured, that would be great.
Now, you make the reference to Japan. And I'm going to ask you to compare two trips. Your first trip over to compete inside the ring. And this most recent trip over, representing the National Wrestling Alliance as the World Heavyweight Champion in the Land of the Rising Sun.
Yeah, really night and day. I mean, the first trip that I had was actually with WWE, and I was World Tag Team Champion with Silvan, and we lost the World Tag Team Championships to Tajiri and Steve Regal, or William Regal, in a sold-out Yokohama Arena. So that was actually a, you know, it was actually a pretty good feeling to go there and get the response that we wanted, not only wrestling Tajiri in Japan, but, I mean, Regal, anytime you get a chance to wrestle him, it's a good experience, but also just that he was someone who made a name for himself in Japan as well. And then going back over for NWA, you know, for New Japan Wrestling, I mean, they're really night and day, completely different. I mean, I'm proud of both of them, but the second time, I feel like I did that. That's more on my own merit. That's New Japan and NWA wanting to bring me over there, wanting me to have a singles match, compared to just being part of the WWE and they were going there anyway.
Now, what has been your goal as the World Heavyweight Champion?
My goal as the NWA World Heavyweight Champion is to represent myself and the NWA, you know, in a very positive way, and to just to help the brand NWA and the brand Rob Conway, just move forward and get recognized, you know, for being quality products, both of them. I mean, NWA is something that's dear to me, so everything that I say or do, I always think, you know, how does this reflect on the NWA before I do it or say it? And I do the same when it comes to, you know, my name, the Rob Conway name. You know, my family, would they be proud of this? You know, before you type it on Facebook or tweet it, is that something that you would, you know, there's things that you might say when you're in the ring or when you're, you know, a non-fan favorite, so to speak, that are a little suspect. But for the most part, you know, Rob Conway is Rob Conway. The character, as they say, and the person are not that much different. So, I mean, we have the same name and we look the same.
Let me come back to the geography question for just a, or a geography topic for just a second. As you have made your way around through the different wrestling organizations, which fan base has surprised you the most as far as their reaction to any given situation? Like Northeast, Southeast, Southwest, Japan?
There's a few places in particular. Japan, I always heard that they were reserve and that they only cheered for moves and stuff, but they boo me. I come over there, they're booing the same as if it was 1985 and it was in Louisville, Kentucky. They like the Japanese. They don't like me. They don't like the NWA coming over there and trying to prove that we're better than them. So I think that me and Bruce Tharp get a completely different reaction than what everybody else does. I think that we're definitely hated, and people reach out and try to grab a hold of Bruce. I mean, I've had to, you know, pull him away from the fans a couple times because they're trying to get at him. So they don't like us at all. New York City, the fans there, you never know how they're going to react. You don't know if they're going to, you know, they might start chanting something that has nothing to do with the match. They haven't really done it in my matches. I mostly went there when I was in La Resistance, so we were getting booed out of the building. So those are two places that you never know, you know, don't know what's going to happen. And then in Montreal, you know, that's where the screw job, you know, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels took place. And since then, the crowd is almost like the third person in the match. When I went there, that was the only time that me and Silvan ever got cheered for in our career. and the two guys that we were going against were both Canadian as well. So, I mean, they were booing Chris Benoit and Edge out of the building, and Benoit was born in Montreal, and Edge is, you know, one of the most loved Canadian wrestlers of all time. So we knew that it would be mixed, but we didn't realize how much they would love us. And when we won the World Tag Team Championships, you thought it was, you know, that it was them winning the Stanley Cup or, you know, winning the World Series.
Two-part question. Number one, and this is going to kind of put you on the spot, and I apologize for this in advance. For the Iron Man Rob Conway, who would be on your personal Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling?
Well, I think you'd have to start out with probably Lou Fez, because he's kind of the godfather of modern wrestling, and the most recognizable name in NWA's history. From there, probably Ric Flair. Ric Flair is probably the most known wrestler in the world, who's wrestled all over the world for the championship. And then, Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan wasn't an NWA wrestler, but I don't know anybody who has ever watched wrestling or probably been alive for the past, you know, 30 years who doesn't know him and wrestling. So those are three guys I definitely think would be on there. And then if you took a more modern stance, you know, even newer than Hulk Hogan, then you probably have to, you know, it might be a close between The Rock or Stone Cold.
Okay.
I mean, because both those guys are super popular, but The Rock's had a much longer, I think, a longer career as a top guy, because often, you know, was a top guy in WWE probably from like 95 to about 2000 or so. But if you're a 20-year-old kid, you've never, you know, if you started watching wrestling when you're 10, you've never seen Stone Cold wrestle. But The Rock come back, and every time he does, he sells out buildings and sells a lot of pay-per-views.
The second part of the question, I've just built a time machine, and I'm giving you the opportunity to go into any timeline in professional wrestling, any city, and doesn't have to be a title defense. It could be a title defense. It could be a title challenge that you're looking to go for a title. Who would be your dream match and where?
Well, it would definitely be in the 80s, because to me, that's when wrestling seemed like it was the hottest and it was the most fun. There was all the territories, and, you know, there was a lot of great, great wrestlers out there. So when I think of the 80s, I definitely think that Ric Flair would probably be the world's heavyweight champion. And we're better to wrestle Ric Flair, but probably in probably somewhere in North Carolina. Even though I didn't grow up, you know, in North Carolina, there would still be a big feather in your cap to go in and beat Ric Flair for the World's Heavyweight Championship, you know, in Charlotte. And just imagine that atmosphere when you see him and Steamboat in those matches.
Are you game for a couple of off-the-cuff questions?
Sure.
The Backstreet Boys and NSYNC are about to get into a war games. Who wins?
Oh, that would be NSYNC. I think Justin Timberlake would somehow or another, you know, be more successful. He'd be the toughest guy of all of them, because his charisma would dominate.
The second one, the zombie apocalypse has just taken place. Which reality TV star do you throw between you and the zombie attack to get to make your escape?
Probably my buddy from Big Brother. I'll throw out Jesse Goddard. He's a wrestler. He's a big guy with some muscles. Maybe they spend some time chewing on him so I can make my escape.
Word association, but I'm going to give you two words, and I want to find out what they mean to you. First thing that pops into your head. Addictive. Okay. And expensive.
Wilcott.
The reason why I bring up those two words, and actually Byron's a good friend of ours here on Beyond Ringside. He's been on with us in previous days. In the very near future, October 18th, in Houston, Texas, at the Humble Civic Center, the National Wrestling Alliance presents Invasion with NWA Houston. And in the main event that night, the Iron Man, Rob Conway, you, my good sir, will be defending the NWA World Heavyweight Championship against the NWA Lone Star Champion, Byron Wilcott, in a no disqualification match. How much homework have you done on Byron?
Well, I already wrestled him once. I mean, the interview was fun and all, up until now. But he said he was going to leave me laying. He said that he was going to beat me up. And he said he was going to take the championship. Well, he was successful in pretty much beating me up and leaving me laying, but he didn't win the championship. I knew that the invasion was coming. I knew that the Japanese were coming over here, and I wasn't even, didn't have a match yet. But the idea that he was going to leave me laying and that was going to be the end of it wasn't setting too good with me. Now, he thinks, a lot of people have been watching my matches, and they've been working on being more technical. I've been doing that for years now, but I'm no stranger to street fights and no disqualifications. I wasn't always nice. I didn't always follow the rules. So the idea that there is no rules, that's fine with me. So on the 18th, I said, I don't want to wrestle a Japanese guy. I respect that they're coming, but if I can't take care of this championship here in the United States, then there's really no reason for me to be going overseas or wrestling someone, from Japan. So on the 18th, I'm looking forward to this match. I've studied him. I know what he can do. He's big and strong. But the thing is he has no idea how long and hard that I work to get where I am. And I will guarantee you that I am willing to do more to keep that championship than he's willing to do to take it away from me. So on the 18th, a street fight, no rules, him and his shake weight, bring a shake weight, because I'll use whatever it takes. And I've got 16 and a half years of experience behind me, and I know how much the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship means to me. I know how much more money I'm making. I know how much happier my family is. I know how much more respect that I have now that I have the championship, and I certainly do not plan on losing it.
I have a question that I need to ask. Knowing the fact that you have successfully gone to Japan and defended the NWA World title, is there a target on your back from the Japanese contingent coming over here?
I would say, of course there is. When we said that the NWA was better than New Japan, I went over there, I faced Kojima, who was in the main event at this last pay-per-view. I beat him with the ego trip. Didn't roll him up, didn't hit him with the chain. I beat him with my best move in the middle of the ring, just like we said we would do. Then they invited me back. They wanted me to go against another one of their former heavyweight champions. And I beat him right in the middle of the ring with the ego trip. And then what did they do? They invited me back a third time, put me up against one of the biggest legends in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? I beat him with an ego trip in a sold-out arena for the third time in the middle of the ring. So I don't think that they're at all going to be complacent. I don't think they said, oh, well, he came over three times and he beat our guys. He proved that he was the best, and that's the end of it. So I know for a fact that they're not going to be satisfied until either we quit coming over there, they quit coming over here, or somebody beats me. So the idea that they're going to come over here in Texas and beat me, it's not going to happen. They might think it's going to happen, but it's not going to happen because there's only four or five of them. See, they haven't figured out the band together over there. but we band together over here. And the NWA is going to be going against New Japan. So there's going to be, you know, four or five of them. That's great. There'll be 20 of us. So to get to me, you're going to have to go through 20 guys that know how much the championship means to NWA and how much it means to stay in with someone in the United States.
This will take place Friday, October 18th. Bell time is going to be 7:30 p.m. Now, here's the thing, folks. The doors will open at 6 p.m. for VIP ticket holders and at 6:30 for general admission. This is going to be at the Humble Civic Center, 8233 Will Clayton Parkway in Humble, Texas. Remember, once again, VIP tickets available. General admission tickets available. Let's see. General admission seats are available for $20 each. VIP tickets are $40 each. VIPs are guaranteed front row seats while they last and access to a private meet and greet with a lot of the stars between 6 and 6:30. There are very few of these tickets remain. So once again, while supplies last. Now, Rob, if I could, there's a couple other matches on here in particular. Now, it's a stacked lineup. I know a lot of the people who are on this card, on this show, and it is a stacked lineup. And one of the matches that I'm really also going to be watching, in addition to the World Heavyweight Championship match, is the Junior Heavyweight Championship match. The Gift, Jason Kincaid, defends the title in a rematch against Chase Owen. Can you offer a little insight on that one?
Well, I was there in Kingsport, Tennessee, when the Gift beat Chase Owens for that championship. The match was, it was unbelievable. The atmosphere, it was unbelievable. You could just cut it with a knife. The fans were on their feet. There was two or three times when there was a two count and each one of them would kick out, and I thought that it was over. I mean, I was getting up out of my seat to go, you know, to the back, and it was just, those guys are both two of the toughest guys in all of pro wrestling, two of the most athletic guys that we have in the NWA. And that's a match that, you know, if it doesn't steal the show, I would be surprised. I mean, those guys have wrestled each other before. They know each other well. They know each other's moves. They counter moves that I've never even seen before. So do yourselves a favor and come out and watch these guys at this event, because these are two of the best junior heavyweights in the world.
Let me go ahead and run down some of the matches on this card, and I'm going to come right back to you, because if there's a match that you'd like to offer insight on or an opinion, I'd love to hear it. A tag team grudge match. The Modern Day Hero, a former NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion, Kevin Douglas, teams up with Ricky Starks to take on Carson and one man, Mike Dell. Also, NWA Lone Star Women's Champion Barbie Hayden will be in the corner of Carson and Dell in a student versus teacher matchup. And this is going to be one to watch. Raymond Death Row takes on his teacher, Lou Marconi. That one could be very interesting to watch. Two giants will collide. Michael Tarver will take on Godzilla Jax Dane. A lot of people are talking about Dane. And also, I know that he was supposed to be, I know he has challenged for the title before. Is he one that's on your radar?
No, he was supposed to have the match the night that he got injured, and I took over his match and won the championship. So, yeah, he pretty much has an open invitation. Whenever he wants a title match, he can have it. But a lot of people know me and him are best friends in wrestling, and he hasn't really shown any interest in, you know, going against me. Just out of, like I said, we're friends, and I think his time will come, and when he wants it, if I'm the champion and he wants a shot at it, he can have it. But he's 6'5", he's 300 pounds, and when I go to Japan, he's there with me. You know, he's my guy to make sure that if, you know, anybody gets in my match, that he takes care of them. So he's a pretty dominant force, and he hasn't had a title shot yet. because I think if he had a title shot and it wasn't against me, he would be the champion.
NWA versus New Japan, international flavor tag team matchup. New Japan's own Gedo and Watanabe take on the former NWA tag champions, the Kings of the Underground, Scott Summers and Ryan Genesis. I full well expect this match to turn into a war. Summers and Genesis still have a chip on their shoulder, and I feel for any tag team that gets in their way right now. I mean, you've seen these guys in action firsthand, right?
Yeah, I've been on the other end of some of those punches and kicks and suplexes, and I don't know if Watanabe and Gato know what they got themselves into when they get in there with the Kings of the Underground. I think that, I mean, I don't know if you can scout those guys. Watching them on tape is nothing like getting in the ring and feeling the power of both those guys. And they've been teaming for years. I mean, their timing, their teamwork, I mean, they can break the rules better than anybody.
The NWA Lone Star Tag Team titles will be on the line as the Sons of Texas, Cowboy James Claxton, and Alex Reigns defend their titles against the Lords of Chaos, Damian Wayne and Lance Erickson. Had an opportunity to interview both Damian and Lance in recent days. And once again, this tag team title match, it could go either way at the drop of a hat. Right, Rob?
Yeah, I don't see a lot of... I see a lot of headlocks and hammerlocks in that match. Those are guys that like to brawl. I think it's going to come out to, you know, who's the toughest guy on that day. And that's one that we'll just have to, you know, it's a pretty even matchup. It's like each team has a big monster guy, and each team has, you know, more of a wrestler in that match. So your guess is as good as mine on that one. I see somebody coming out of that match winning, and somebody else coming out of that match probably knocked out.
And for the NWA World Tag Team Championships, these four men know each other pretty well from what I understand, and there have been some battles in the past. Kojima and Tenzan of New Japan take on the NWA World Tag Team Champions, the Killer Elite Squad, Lance Hoyt Archer, and Davey Boy Smith Jr. Now, Hoyt Archer and Smith are previous New Japan tag champions, right?
Yeah, and Kojima was injured, so they actually, he's not going to be teaming with Tenzan. He's actually going to be replaced by Jushin Thunder Liger.
Oh, did not know that.
So that, I did, you know, I'm not for sure how many times those guys have teamed up, so. I mean, Liger's a legend, and he's somebody that I have a tremendous amount of respect for, but, you know, Harry and Lance team up full-time, so I think it's going to be pretty tough on those guys to have anywhere near the teamwork that they're going to have.
I have to ask, what was it like over there to take on Liger in Japan?
It was surreal, actually. I mean, you know, on the entrances and just the reaction from the crowd. And then, you know, when the bell rings, you just have to go to work. But, you know, before that, it's hard not to kind of get caught up in the idea that, hey, I'm wrestling Jushin Thunder Liger for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship in the sold-out arena in Kobe, Japan, and a pay-per-view for New Japan Pro Wrestling versus NWA. Just saying it sounds like a big deal. But then when you get in there, the bell rings, and you got to start avoiding kicks and palm thrusts and, you know, get your head in the game.
Got a question. Do you still get butterflies, or are they pterodactyls now?
No, I still, I mean, going into every match, whether there's, you know, 12,000 people there or 400 people there, it feels the same going into it. I mean, there's a certain, like, nervous excitement that I think is what makes you know, all the flights and drives and all the stuff it takes to even get to the event, it's all worth it for that feeling going out there with the unexpected. You don't know, you know, how it's going to turn out. You don't know how the people are going to react. You don't know if you're going to get hurt or how hurt you're going to get. So all those things come to play, and that, you know, that makes the drive home, you know, the next day, you're still thinking about those 15, 20 minutes you were out there, and that feeling you have right before you walk through the curtain is pretty much makes everything worth it.
I'm going to put you in that mode for one hot second. You started to hit it a minute ago when we were first talking about the card. I'm going to ask you to go back to that special place one more time. If there is a one-on-one message that you would like to send to Byron Wilcott right now, as well as a message to the fans in the Lone Star State and surrounding areas that are getting ready to come to this event on October 18th, what would those messages be?
I think to the fans, you know, it's going to be a great event. You get there early, you get to meet, you know, some of the best wrestlers in the world, people that might be the only opportunity you ever get a chance to meet them. Everybody will be friendly to the fans. I mean, that if it wasn't for wrestling fans, there wouldn't be anybody wrestling. But once the show starts and, we start the wrestling, it's going to become serious. It's wrestling competition to me. It's, you know, Brian Wilcott, I think he's bit off more than anybody can chew. I mean, I hate to, to talk that way. He's not here. You know, it's just I'm talking on the radio or we're having a good interview. But, the truth is he thinks that he's going to get away with what he did. He thinks that he can call me out. That, you can talk about me and I'm not going to do anything about it. But come, October the 18th, when he gets in the ring with me this time, I'm not going to be expecting headlocks and hammerlocks and hip tosses and us, getting on the mat and wrestling. He's proven to me that he doesn't want to wrestle. He wants to fight. So that's what he's going to get. And I say this, and it's kind of a, a playoff of a legendary statement. To be the man, you got to beat the Iron Man. And that's the way it is nowadays. It used to be the man, but I am the Iron Man. I am the world's champion, and you've got to beat me right in the middle of the ring. There's not going to be any countouts. There's not going to be any, somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. It's no disqualification. It's no countouts. I'm going to beat him in the middle of the ring, and I'm going to leave him laying because that's what he said he was going to do to me, and that's what he did. You can look back. I never make any promises or threats or anything. It's not a threat. I'm coming in there. I'm looking for a fight. That's what it's going to be. And there's not going to be any, anything that he does, it's going to be expected. I'm not going to be, I know he's bringing a shake weight. Bring your shake weight. Bring a dumbbell. That's fine. I'll bring some stuff too. But he's not willing to go as far as I'll go because I'll do more to keep that championship than he'll do to try to take it away from me. I guarantee you that.
Once again, friends, the date is Friday, October the 18th in Humble, Texas at the Humble Civic Center.
Sorry for getting worked up.
It's fine.
Thought of it. I just get worked up. This idea that somebody thinks that they're going to, that you can go online and you can make YouTube videos and all that stuff. All he's doing is bringing more attention to the fact that he's going to lose.
I wish I could be there for this match. I wish I could be there for the whole damn card, plain and simple. I said it earlier, and a lot of the times when you're trying to work a build up for a show that is upcoming, you have a tendency to look at it and go, this could be cool. And I look at it and go, this is cool. Ain't no could be about it. I'm from Alabama.
Well, every match could be the main event. There's no weak matches. Every one of those could be the main event at any promotion here in the country or in the world.
Exactly. Think about it. You put Liger and Tenzan against Lance and Davey Boy. That could be a main event here or Japan. That could be a main event in Australia, personally. Think about it.
Yeah, I guarantee those guys have wrestled all over the world. Any Europe, Australia, any place would be happy to have Liger come in there and wrestle. Or Tenzan, or Davey Boy, or Lance. I've wrestled in Australia this year. Germany's wanting me to come there. But Texas is the ones getting us all.
Now, let me go ahead and ask. In addition to October 18th, which I'm going to come back to for one second in just a minute, any other upcoming matches and appearances that you'd like to put out there?
Well, the very next day, the invasion continues. all the same wrestlers from the 18th are going to be wrestling in different matches on the 19th in San Antonio at NWA Branded Outlaw at Woodland Gym there in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay. What was the venue again?
At the Woodlawn Gym.
Cool. Anything in particular past that point, or are you concentrating mainly on those two dates right now?
I mean, I have a lot of upcoming things, but, you know, it's like I usually will tell people, let me work, you know, I'll worry about those when I get there. Let me get through these.
Yeah.
Let me get, you know, my next match is my most important match.
I understand.
Because if I don't make it through that one, the other one's never going to happen.
I'm going to pop you three real quick, and these are back to off the cuff. When your career and life story is made into a film, who plays the lead?
Hopefully by the time that that comes around, it's somebody that's not even famous yet. Hopefully they're just a young guy right now. That's yeah, let's just put it off as long as we can.
What is one question that you're always afraid to be asked during an interview, and no, I won't ask it?
Generally, they want to ask me if I liked my ring music when I was doing the con man in WWE.
And
generally, I tell them that it's a catchy tune, but the song itself could kill a crowd if you've listened to it.
I've heard music of that ilk before. It's like you play it, it's like, oh, cool, I know who that is. I love the guy, hate the song. I understand the concept. And the 3-2 pitch. Optimus Prime, Voltron, or the Season 1 Megazord from the Power Rangers, which one is more likely to get cavity searched at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport?
Probably whoever's the smallest.
I have no earthly idea which one. I think I'd have to give the nod on that to Voltron.
Yeah, I think the smallest one would get the most search.
Folks, mark your calendars, make your plans, and for those who can, make your reservations. Friday, October 18th, Humble, Texas, Humble Civic Center, Will Clayton Parkway to be exact. Now, real quick, I've also gotten the note in that there is an official hotel for this venue or hotel for this event, the Fairfield Inn and Suites on Highway 59 in Humble. Mark, here's a quick telephone number for you. 281-540-3311. That's area code 281-540-3311. Mention the NWA and you will get a very special rate for that weekend. So folks, get ready. The invasion is coming. And our very special guest at this time is in the middle of it. He is the NWA World Heavyweight Wrestling Champion, the Iron Man, Rob Conway. Any closing comments you'd like to send out to everybody?
Just want them all to, you know, support your local NWA wrestling. For that matter, support any local wrestling because, you know, it's the fans and the local wrestling that keeps the business alive. Hopefully those local promotions become regional promotions and then become national promotions. As far as myself, I can be contacted at the Rob Conway on Twitter. I usually return as much of the tweets as I can for any type of appearances. As far as, you know, like at least locally, I do a lot of television commercials and autograph sessions throughout the country. You can contact me at doittheconway@aol.com for any wrestling or any type of personal appearances or commercial work. And I just look forward to seeing everybody at a local NWA promotion and let them know that we are working toward having a national television show. It's just going to be a slow process. We're moving forward. We're moving slow forward. That way, you don't want to rush into failure. We want to move slow and methodically into long-term success.
Amen. Friends, real quick, I want to remind everybody, we broadcast live on Sunday nights, 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 Central, 3:30 Pacific. You can catch us through BeyondRingside.com and all of our affiliates, as well as on Saturday mornings, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific. Once again, right here through BeyondRingside.com. You can catch us on iTunes. You can catch us through our podcast, as well as through our 24-hour online radio station. We hope you join us every chance you get. Folks, our very special guest at this time, the Iron Man, Rob Conway, has just gone beyond ringside. Thank you for joining us on this very special edition. This is the Magic City Motor Mouth Fast Eddie Lane saying we'll see you real soon. Bye for now.